Paul Azinger, of course, the big name here. Delighted to have a chance to talk to him. Paul, thanks for coming to Jackson.
Hey, good morning. I'm thrilled to be here. It's still morning, isn't it?
Kind of. No, it's a, what a beautiful day.
You know, compared to Florida right now, I live right where that tropical storm's coming ashore, and it's dumping 6 to 8 inches of rain, and I'm worried about my boat, but it's been so hot and humid to come up here and feel like you're living in the air conditioner. What a temperature this is.
You're getting ready for a big tournament in a couple weeks with Joe Buck on Fox.
Looking forward to covering the U.S. Open and getting to call the U.S. Open. It's a real privilege to have that opportunity to watch somebody, you know, try to make history and on a golf course that is going to be a real, real difficult test for all the players. I mean, other than just a tap in, every shot has got your full attention. I mean, you can, you know, miss a 2.5 footer and have 6 feet coming back. The greens at Oakmont are probably the fastest greens in the world. And there's going to be a decent amount of rough, but I feel like it's going to mostly be fairway bunkers that's going to gobble the players up. And probably 75% or 80% of the time, the players hit it into one of these fairway bunkers at Oakmont, they're not going to be able to get on the green. So I think most of the best recovery shots are going to be from around the greens there. But you're going to have a terrific week on the greens to have any chance to play well.
Hey, we just had a young man from Jackson win on the PGA Tour, Brian Stewart, and it's got the whole town buzzing.
Well, yeah, and I just heard he was 45 for 45 inside 10 feet for the week. And, you know, that's what you got to do. Jason Day won Bay Hill. He only hit 9 greens in regulation Saturday, and then he hit 9 greens in regulation on Sunday. And he still won the tournament, and he did it because he got up and down. And, you know, we all hit the same amount of drives, 18 tee shots, and we'll hit the same amount of second shots unless there's a hole-in-one or a penalty. So that's 36 shots gone right there. The only way to separate yourself is on or around the greens, I feel, and that's where Tiger separated himself most of the time. He could finish last in fairways hit and still win the golf tournament, you know. So you got to be great around the greens, and, you know, for him to go 45 for 45 inside 10 feet is just amazing. That's gut check. I think putting, it always comes down to a putt at the highest level. It always comes down to the putt.
See Tiger making any sort of comeback?
I hope, but it's not looking good. He was hurt, you know, before. I mean, he was playing badly before he got hurt. He was hitting it poorly before he really got hurt. Now he's really got a serious issue with his back. 3 back surgeries is usually the end. And, you know, it's just weird to watch somebody fall that quickly. He could be gone forever. I just hope that he can come out and show off for us again sometime in the near future. He's got to want to show off more than he fears embarrassing himself, or he'll never come back out. And, yeah, you know, the back problem, too, it's like a built-in excuse. I suppose a bad back can work a couple ways. You've got an excuse if you're not playing well and it takes pressure off, or you've got an excuse if you think you might embarrass yourself and then you don't show up. So the bad back can work both ways. But the reality is that kind of an injury that's career-threatening stuff.
How tough is PGA life? I'm sure a lot of people, casual fans, say these guys got it made.
Yeah, it's a hard life. I kicked the habit, and it's hard to kick the habit. You know, I quit playing competitively about 5 or 6 years ago, choosing not to play the Champions Tour because I just didn't really enjoy the travel and the grind as much. And, you know, but it's a great way to live. If you're playing good golf, it's so phenomenal, but it's hard. You got to realize the guys that do it are physically smart, but like the greatest physical genius probably of all is Nicklaus, and he said he only felt great about his swing 10% of the time. So, you know, I asked him, well, then Jack, what did you do the other 90% of the time? And you grind, you manage your game. And, you know, it's interesting. You win a tournament and maybe you string a bunch of good shots together, but there's got to be periods. You don't hit it perfect every time when you win a tournament. You're grinding away, and you got to get up and down like what's your guy's name here?
Brian Stewart.
Brian Stewart, like he did. You got to get up and down, and it's always a gut check. And, you know, it's interesting, too, but you think about confidence, and I think about Jason Day and what he said just a few weeks ago at TPC after he won TPC. He came into the tournament the number one player in the world, not even debatable. He just won Bay Hill. He's pre-tournament favorite going to TPC. He's got a 4-shot lead. After 3 rounds, and he wakes up Sunday morning, and until he teed off, he said he's the most nervous he's ever been. So you got to figure he's probably the most confident player in the world. And then he shows up on Sunday with a four-shot lead, and he's the most nervous he's ever been. Well, then what is the value of confidence? Other than knowing that you've done it before, there's no guarantees. And it's a vicious cycle when you play competitive golf, and you got to be willing to scrap and fight mentally. There's mental battles that are happening as the guy's walking. The walk can be excruciating, or it can be joyful. I would imagine if Dustin Johnson has the lead going to Sunday at Oakmont, it would be an excruciating walk for him because he hasn't won since the U.S. Open, and that's the big memory for him. And I would imagine that maybe Spieth, it would be not quite totally joyful. But Jason Day, is he going to have a joyful walk? He already said probably not, because he was the most nervous he's ever been. It's all that said, it's still only golf. It's just golf. But it's their life, too. And it's hard. It's really hard.
Paul, you beat cancer. And you were still playing great golf. What was it like when somebody said cancer?
I was surprised to hear it. I had a sore shoulder for a long time, and I didn't expect to hear that. But you just deal with it. 6 months chemo, 5 weeks radiation. I never played as well after that. I did win another tournament, thankfully, and got, you know, all the way back, I guess. But it's... you know, it's a shocker, and I'm just thankful for events like the Tony Open, because, you know, these are the people that really are the ones that saved my life, because my first question was, well, how do you treat it? You know, if there weren't events like this, then who knows if they would have been able to treat me. But there's research dollars that are raised and in events like this, and there must have been thousands of them before I was diagnosed, thankfully. And so they knew how to treat mine, and I was able to get cured from it. That was in 1993 I was diagnosed. 94 was the chemo and radiation, and then I started to play full schedule back in 95. But, you know, I'm just thankful for these people willing to give their time and money.
What about when you got the call from Fox? That was exciting.
Yeah, well, you know, I'd been at ESPN for a long time, and my contract with ESPN was really it became null and void when we lost the British, because we kept losing tournaments. You know, I had the greatest gig ever. I was doing all 4 days of the Masters for 3D TV or for, you know, some form of ESPN TV. And then we did the first 2 days of the U.S. Open, and I got to do all 4 days of the British Open. So I'm doing three of the four majors, and really not much else. It was a perfect schedule. Well, we lost the 3D TV. We still kind of have the Masters the first 2 days. We lost the U.S. Open, and then we just lost the British, so my contract expired. I talked to Mark Loomis, the producer at Fox, who hired me at ABC originally, and they really weren't happy with Greg Norman, and I just consider myself pretty fortunate to be in this position where I can go call live golf and call a major title.
Well, thanks for coming out here. You must enjoy events like this.
Yeah, I do. I've already made some good friends. We'll have the needle out a little bit, try to, hopefully everybody will have fun and play decent golf. It's a perfect day for it. There's not a cloud in sight, and what a temperature.
Thanks, Paul. Pleasure.
Thank you.
Paul Azinger, he is the highlight attraction this year's 40th Tony Open.